but that's an additional service that you would charge for. And I typically find that providers are spending between $800 and $2,000 per resident per year on services they don't have to provide.
Welcome to the Aged Care Executive Podcast, the show that's dedicated to helping age and community care professionals stay ahead of the industry.
With funding in the industry getting tighter and increased transparency and competition due to My Aged Care and most organisations' increased online presence, most organisations are looking for ways to differentiate themselves and improve profitability. Offering additional services seems to be one of the answers. But what does a good additional services program look like? Today we have with us James Saunders. James has a background as an RN, spent over 10 years as a director of nursing, and then worked as an advisor at Laser. He's also been the CEO of a large aged care organisation, and now he's Pride Living's senior consultant operations, specialising in additional services. I'm your host, Michael Peachy, and this episode of the Aged Care Executive Podcast is proudly brought to you by WNL Mobile Healthcare Services, delivering mobile allied health and dental services to improve the quality of life of all Australians. In this episode, we cover the difference between additional and extra services, the starting point an organisation should take, regardless of whether or not they're even looking at implementing additional services, tips for getting staff on board, and what types of additional services approaches don't seem to be successful. And finally, we also chat about the current opt-in versus opt-out situation. So I hope you enjoy our conversation with James Saunders. James, welcome to the Aged Care Executive Podcast.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Thanks for coming on. Now, today we're talking all things additional services, but before we get to that point, I was just wondering if you can give us a bit of an overview of your background in the sector and how you ended up coming to focus on this part.
Sure. So I've been in aged care for quite a while. Started off as a registered nurse and became a director of nursing and did that for about 10 years. Then I went to work for Laser as an advisor to organisations and facility managers. And then one of my clients offered me the role of CEO, and I was the CEO of the Cook Care Group for about 10 years with 11 facilities across Queensland and New South Wales. And we sold that group to SCA Health back in 2014, and I've returned to the consulting industry since then. Additional services, our organisation, we're very interested in this space, and my background, we specialised in extra services. So when I came on board, the question was asked, well, would I be able to look at assisting organisations with additional services? What I learned very quickly is additional services are very different to extra services. So what we did is our research team put together a research piece, and we started contacting providers and managed to see what people were doing in the additional service space. And now we assist organisations to implement additional services.
Okay. And can you just give a bit of a breakdown or a comparison of the difference between additional services and extra services?
Well, extra services now are a very old model, and originally even the benchmarks that were required for extra service, now a lot of those would be just considered standard service, you know, room sizes and offering meal choices, which I see now as standard offering, whereas additional services are really about offering services that have greater flexibility and offer real choices, very consistent with the consumer-directed care model that the government's now adopting.
Okay, and so what are sort of some of the things that an organisation would typically have in their additional services?
Well, that's interesting. Yeah, I don't know if there's a typical answer. What we've seen is some providers have gone into the additional service model almost mimicking what hotels do, offering massage and these other sort of boutique-y type of services. And by and large, that really hasn't been very successful at all. Other people have adopted the extra service model and just sort of said, well, you know, this is your room, and really haven't made a much of a value proposition in terms of services. And they're sort of coming under the scrutiny of the Aged Care Complaints Commissioner. And as a result, now there's a review on additional services. But it's quite easy to comply. You just need to show that the resident is getting value for these services and can access them.
Okay, so you mentioned that the mimic in the hotels doesn't go so well. What are some of the examples of places that are doing it well, and what are sort of things that they've got?
Well, the trick is to start work backwards. What are the services that you're already providing that aren't covered by the Aged Care Act? And you sit there, there's a lot of day-to-day services. You know, some places offer Foxtel, Wi-Fi, additional meal choices. Some have greater, beverage offerings. People offer electrical tagging when they come in, clothing labelling, additional bus trips and hydrotherapy classes, stuff that isn't covered by the Aged Care Act. So what we say, and when I go into an organisation, you know, I've got this huge list of services that aren't covered by the Act, and a lot of them they're all typically offering. We've got notional values against those, and we actually calculate what the cost is to the provider for these services that they're currently offering for free. I mean, television's bolted to the room as well. Providers don't want families coming and putting televisions on bedside tables, so they put it on the wall, but that's an additional service that you would charge for. And I typically find that providers are spending between $800 and $2,000 per resident per year on services they don't have to provide.
Right, so it's a case of a lot of organisations have just habitually provided services they didn't need to, just because they did. And, it's obviously going to be hard to start charging people that you've already been providing those services to. You know, not going to take your TV off the wall and then charge you to put it back on. So what would be your advice to organisations who are providing that, you know, $800 to $2,000 a year worth of services?
So what they need to do is map what they're providing and put it into a brochure, and then only, as you say, you're not going to charge existing residents. Go to new residents and say, you know, we offer this these services. You know, package it up as a club. Our research shows that if you do it ad hoc, you know, like what I call mini bar syndrome, where you know you've got a list and there's a chocolate bar that you know only costs $1.50 is $5, and you know there's a bottle of wine there that's for $40, and you know it, you can buy the bottle for 10, that you package it up like a club, like a gym membership, and you just say this is a daily cost that you will be paying, and it's to get those little creature comforts to make mum's stay a lot more pleasant.
Gotcha. So it's like going to, you know, Anytime Fitness, where they'll charge you a gym membership and they'll throw in the bag and the towel and all of that sort of stuff, but they don't tell you what the price of those things are because you'd want it back off the price.
Exactly.
Okay, and so with the providing those additional services that they're not currently getting charged as additional services, what are the other mistakes that organisations often make before they've gone formally to offer additional services or in the implementation of it? What are some of the things that an organisation needs to look out for?
Is first of all trying to get a one size fits all, and I've dealt with some bigger organisations, not for profit and for profit, who have said, right, additional services, and they've gone out to their accounting team and said, you know, put together a model, and they've put that in. What I've learned is additional services is very different in every facility. You know, you're going to get a lot better penetration in a new facility with single-roomed en-suites than you are with an older facility, and then an older facility with multiple bed-sized rooms is going to be harder to sell. And also your financial situation for the people in that area. So it's really important to do your research and look at the value proposition. A, what can our residents afford to pay? You know, what's our supported ratio? You know, what's the demographics of our local community? And then what about the aesthetics of the facility? You know, where do we think? Do our market research. What are our competitors charging? How glamorous are our facilities? Where do we compete? And then set your pricing accordingly.
Okay. And so is there any, you know, bad advice or, you know, bad practices to do with additional services that you see pop up over time across the industry?
The biggest question mark at the moment is the opt-in, opt-out. If you read the guidelines on the department's website, it says quite clearly that there should be an opt-in, opt-out. So I can leave at any time that I want. What a lot of facilities are doing at the moment is saying additional service, if you, when you, you're opting in by accepting a place in this facility, and opting out is when you leave the facility. Now, under the legislation, if you actually read the legislation, and I've discussed this with lawyers who specialise in this part of the Act, have said nowhere does it say that there has to be an opt-in, opt-out. That's just how the department have interpreted it, and that's how the Aged Care Complaints Commissioner has interpreted it, and that's why there's a review on the moment. Now, if I was a betting person, I would say that review will obviously need to consider that very closely, and we'll probably put some guidelines that you can't make it compulsory for a whole facility. You know, if that was the case, we'd have country towns that only have one facility in town and they're off charging, you know, $90 a day additional service fee. The government would say that's against the government's philosophy about access for all Australians to aged care. That's what our means testing system is around, that, you know, the poor and the wealthy can afford residential aged care.
Yeah, and that makes complete sense. I mean, it's not a opportunity for monopoly. It's about, I guess, at the end of the day, providing the care recipients for additional choices if they wish to avail them. So on that, if an organisation hasn't had any experience with additional services or extra services for that matter, and they want to start looking at that as an option, what would be the first steps that you'd recommend? Well, what advice would you give them?
Well, as I said, first of all, do your competitor analysis, see what other people are charging, look at what your residents can afford, and then go through your list of what services you're currently providing for free, and then put a price on that. Find out, you know, put a notional value on what you think all these individual services are worth, and then what you think is a reasonable fee for that. And what I tell people is, don't be greedy. I actually heard a CFO for a large provider saying that he was thinking about introducing an additional service fee of $3 per day to every resident. And I think everyone in the room turned around with a gasp to go, $3, why would you bother? And then it occurred to me, this provider's got about 5,000 beds. So that equates to over $5 million per annum. So suddenly, on your balance sheet, it actually makes a big difference. So really, if you stick with a small amount, and look, $3 is the lowest I've ever heard of, but let's say typically between $5 and $10 a day, we're in the range of a cup of coffee. You know, when you're explaining it to the kids, the adult children that are placing mum or dad, you can go, for the price of a cup of coffee, you can provide all these services and focus on the value proposition of it.
Gotcha. And I mean, at the end of the day, if you outprice yourself, no one's going to take it up, which means that these people aren't getting these additional services, which means your brand of the organisation is going to look worse anyway because it looks like you're not doing much.
And it's going to impact on your occupancy.
Yeah, absolutely. So it gets back to that point of, if you charge a little bit more but provide a fair bit of value for it, everyone wins in the long run.
Exactly.
Okay. And any other messages or key points that you think the industry really needs to know about when it comes to additional services?
You need to get your staff on board. You've got to remember that, you know, 80% of our staff are nursing and personal care, and it normally follows a nursing model. Most of our nursing, our supervisors, whether it be on a day shift, evening shift, night shift, are nurses. And these people have come from a career of a welfare structure, you know, the public hospital system, where everyone got the same care. So for your staff to suddenly go or to explain to your staff now that you're going to have an additional service model, and the residents over there, they're now going to get a glass of wine or beer with their meals, but that resident over there, their family said no, and as a result, you're not going to give them a glass of wine or a cappuccino each day, whatever it is. Your staff are not going to like that. You know, that they love their residents by and large. And, you know, they have a very strong ethic for a welfare model of health, and they're going to, you know, to sabotage your system and give out free drinks and abuse the system. So you really got to get your staff on board. And for that, it is about talking to them about how you're going to introduce consumer-directed care, and this is just one aspect of it. And what I find is that you actually start talking to staff about how can we make our life for our residents more comfortable, then you'll start getting them on board. I was at one organisation, and we were talking to the staff about additional services and what we could offer, and one of the staff said, "Do you think that we could do something about the pillows?" And I said, "What do you mean?" They said, "All our pillows have got those horrible vinyl covers on them. And in summer, it makes the resident's head sweat. They crinkle under the resident's ear. They're just horrible. The residents hate them." And at that point, the facility manager said, "Okay, well, how about a part of our additional services? We actually buy the pillow and we give it to the resident. We'll say, here, these pillows, they're your own pillows, and we're not going to put the vinyl cover on it. And when you leave, you can either, your family can take the pillow home, or we'll dispose of it, but no more covers." Anyway, the look on the staff faces, they said, "What a great idea." And now that facility has a really good additional service program, and the staff were involved because now they believe it's a win-win situation. They got a win for their residents, and the facility got their additional services packages.
You know, if any facility is listening and they're thinking of, you know, implementing additional service, I think that could be a good example to bring up. So just on that, if an organisation was looking at getting onto additional services and didn't know where to start, how could they contact you to find out more?
So we have our website, the Pride Living website. I've also spoken at the ACSA National Conference and we've spoken at LASERS National Conference as well. But getting onto our website at Pride Living, the Pride Living Group is, and you can send us a message, and also you can read about additional services and how we can assist. So we provide the whole service for people that haven't done it before. We can actually, you know, tailor the product. We can do the financial modelling for you. And then we even provide you with the brochures and the presentation folders and the marketing materials and provide the training to your staff.
Wonderful. Well, I'll link to those resources in the show notes so anyone listening can access those. James, just wanted to say thank you very much for your comments today, and hopefully our audience gets a lot out of it.
My pleasure.
Thank you for listening to the Aged Care Executive Podcast. What drives us is knowing that we're providing content to help aged and community care professionals stay ahead of the industry. So please, if you get any value from what we're doing, the biggest reward we could ask is that you share this podcast with your colleagues. Don't forget to hit subscribe. It's free. And also leave us a review. 5 stars, hopefully, but if not, that's okay. But please, leave a comment and let us know what we can do better, or if there's any particular topics you'd like to hear about. If you'd like to connect with us or have any questions, you can find us on LinkedIn and Facebook at the Aged Care Executive Podcast.